Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2020 International Film Festival, Rotterdam. I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Jens Muurer. Thanks very much for joining us, first of all.
Hi, nice to be here. Good morning.
And we're going to be talking about the film that you're presenting here, An Impossible Project. Well, I saw the film and I loved it, but for the benefit of our listeners, would you mind maybe introduce it a little bit and just tell us a few words, and then we'll talk about it in more detail?
Oh, you caught me out there. Well, it's a documentary, but it's also a story that I'm telling about... the center is the guy who saved the last Polaroid factory, and this is a good 10 years ago when the first iPhone came out, and we're all like, wow, digital is going to be such a great, free and easy and convenient thing. And Doc, my guy, who's also the world's number one expert on spider eye muscles, he had this epiphany that, hang on, this might be going the wrong way because humans are analog. So he set out to save and rescue analog from the clutches of digital. Yeah. And my film tells a story, and it's really our own story, because here we are 10 years later, kind of like sick and tired of our smartphones and too much social media, and Twitter puts Donald Trump into the presidency. And the film, which is a warm and loving film shot on 35mm, questions that.
Hey, so how did you meet Doc?
I met Doc at the time my day job is producing feature films, and I was working on a film with Ron Howard called Rush, which is a film about two racing drivers, James Hunt and Niki Lauda, who was a fantastic, charismatic, funny, mad, crazy, really energetic Austrian. And I was introduced to Doc, my main character, at the same time, and I thought, wow, here's the next really charismatic and crazy and charming Austrian, and I think I need to tell his story. So I started.
Did you share his passion for all things analog?
Well, no, not... I mean, yes, but I wasn't a big fan of Polaroid or analog photography. You know, I had vinyls like everyone did. For me, it was more to meet somebody who sort of was stemming the tide, who was in a nice way, because this is about, hang on, why not write a letter? If you want her to find your love letter in her attic 20 years from now, don't send it as a WhatsApp message, because it won't be there. Sure. I like the idea of resisting this tyranny of convenience that he stood for, that Doc stands for. And it was that I thought was kind of important and interesting to follow, more than the Polaroid or the vinyls and so on. But they are all in that film, and it's all the stuff that is real and that you can touch and that means something, that has value.
That's true. He refers to the smell, which is something that is lost in the digital in the digital world. By the same degree, I'd love to ask you, what is your opinion on the whole digital thing? Because you shot this film in 35mm.
Yeah, but I'm not a Luddite, so I'm not doing this because, we must not touch digital. It's in fact completely opposite. I launched a project here years ago at Rotterdam at Cinemart called Russian Ark, which is pretty much the first digital film that kind of really had worldwide exposure. It was the first digital film that was shown in competition in Cannes. It was kind of marking the beginning of the end of chemical film, and it was very exciting developing a digital format that allowed us to do an entire film in one shot, which you couldn't do on chemical film. So for me to do it on 35 wasn't like, oh, nostalgia. It was actually, I wanted to show that we all have a choice to make today, every day. We have a choice for something that maybe isn't just the corporate convenience kind of thing, that is, dare I say it, Facebook, who are friends and who are in my film, and the Instagram. It's a kind of a too much situation, and I wanted to show that if you wanted to, you could do it differently. And I just see, like, you can make a film on film, and it has real warmth and advantages to it. So that's why it was on 35, not because of a nostalgic reflex. I think it's discovering real things. You know, in this case, film you can touch and you can smell. You know, you can bend it, I can hold it. None of which you can do with stupid memory cards on which your digital film is.
On which, you know, you never know whether you're losing any files or anything. It's a lot harder because of you're lacking that tactile, real feel. But what was it like to filming 35 millimeters, especially because, you know, of your previous works where perhaps you worked a lot with digital equipment and all of that? Obviously, there's a big difference. Perhaps it's more demanding in some sense.
Well, what's it like working on 35? It's not like it's a new invention. That's what we've been doing for more than 100 years. The returning to it, what I like most is that I found it's really liberating. Mm. So you think in a documentary on 35, how can that be liberating? Because it's more expensive and you need a much bigger film crew. The camera is much bigger. Every 4 minutes, your mag with the film in it rolls out. Mm. But what actually happens is that it focuses the process in a really healthy way, not just for the filmmakers, because you have to know what you do before you do it, because there's only so much you can film. I think in a situation where, you know, this is a almost essayistic film, I've spent a lot of time with the different protagonists, so it's not undercover and secret. People know what we're doing, and they love it. It's much better than filming on a small video camera or an iPhone or something, because in my case, they know what you're doing. And it kind of builds a situation of trust and adrenaline in a documentary situation. You know, they know what the camera is doing. They know where we are. But they also know that if they have something important to say, they better say it quickly, because it's going to be a rollout just any second. And so in the end, this is kind of a freedom rather than this idea of, oh, you can just let video, digital roll and roll. That's bullshit. That just means you end up with, you know, these people who say, we got thousands of hours of film. Man, I pity you. We shoot 8 rolls a day and then we're done and we can't do anything else. We go down to the pub and have a beer. And that's liberating.
That's amazing. Hey, you know, but also it does help to have someone like Doc in your film. He's a very charismatic guy. I think he seems to know what to do, what to say, when to say it. I got that impression about him.
Well, I'm not so sure. He's obviously a fascinating character, and many other people around him, you know, like the people who did Moleskin and so on, I think they're wonderful and lovely. And Doc has crazy ideas. I mean, in a film that is all about analog, why would you end up in the middle of Facebook headquarters? And that's because of him, because he's so curious. But at the same time, for him to see the film here, he brought his wife and his parents to the premiere. And it was all, like, quite emotional. And
Because obviously these projects, he does mention it. They take, you know, his family are supportive and all, but they are also, like, you know, well, you're perhaps spending too much time on them and all.
Well, you know, here's a family of five where the head of the family goes off and tries to rescue a hotel outside Vienna, which is bizarre because it's a gigantic grand hotel from 1902, but it stood empty, yet fully functional since 1976. And the owners don't say it went bankrupt. They say the last guest checked out 42 years ago. But they're keeping it running with electricity, water, everything, because they love it so much, but they don't know what to do with it. And he comes and says, I know what to do with it. Don't change anything. Just bring people back. And that's what you see at the end of the film.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also it's about preserving these things as much as it is this film, I suppose. It feels like a love letter almost to the analog and sort of a something that risks fading away. It's also becomes ultimately about the importance of preserving things, too. Do you agree?
I think it is about preserving things, and the number one thing it is about preserving is that we have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to shoot every film on film because it's kind of romantic and blah. There are plenty of films that should be made on digital because it just works better. And even my film, shot on film, then went to lots of, you know, we edit digitally and so on. The real point is you got to preserve a choice. That if we were to just give up everything to be kind of in the world of Google and Apple and Facebook and nothing else, we're going to pay a price for it. That only ever addresses two of our senses, sight and sound. But we are analog beings. You know, we have five senses. We also have smell and touch and taste. And we neglect all this at our own peril. I really believe that's why we have terrible politics at the moment. Brexit, Boris Johnson, Donald Trump. And what you see in my film is that there are people trying to preserve and traditional butchery or live music being recorded direct to vinyl. These are all choices that serve us well just by having them, you know, in our own lives. This should translate. Buy a bloody newspaper. Don't just read your stuff in your little echo chamber online. Buy a newspaper, because that way you pay a journalist, you're going to get better news. You know, write a letter, because the person receiving it will feel much more strongly than, you know, getting another five emails from you. And these are all, I think, choices for kind of a healthy life for us.
Oh yeah, we can get into a conversation of how the digital world is affecting journalism. I'm quite unfortunately familiar with that, but yeah. You know, we're actually past the kind of 10-minute mark. But I wanted to end them. It may be a silly question, but you know, kind of fun to. And we talked about smell, but if we could smell your film, what would it smell like?
Oh, it would smell warm and loving.
Warm and loving. Well, thank you very much for joining us. It was a real pleasure talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt.
I remind our listeners that the film is called An Impossible Project, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.